All right, I have another little quiz for you. What do these five men have in common? Now, I'll give you a very little hint. Only four of them are living today. So it's not that they're all living. That's not it. Any idea whatsoever? Could be here all night waiting for an answer. All five of these people have claimed to be Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little background. This could be entertaining. Alan John Miller is a former IT specialist, information technology, from Australia. He has been attracting a following with his claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Miller, who claims to have memories of the crucifixion, also says his companion, fellow Australian Mary Luck, is actually Mary Magdalene. Miller's movement is called the Divine Truth, and on his website and YouTube page, he shares his teaching about life, God, and the universe. In one previous report, Miller was noted as saying in one of his videos, and I quote, "There's probably a million people who say they're Jesus, and most of them are in asylums, but one of us has to be." No, not really. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Now, this is the fellow who died about 10 years ago. Puerto Rican born, not only claims to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, but also the Antichrist. He has a worldwide followers who embrace the number 666 with tattoos as a number of wisdom. Miranda first claimed in 1988 that he was the Apostle Paul before claiming to be Jesus Christ. He teaches that there is no sin, devil, or hell. His Miami, Florida-based operation, which I will not try to pronounce the Spanish name, but it's Growing in Grace, shares its information on a website presented as the official website of the Government of God on Earth, the man Christ Jesus, Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus. There you go. Henry Cristo, Brazilian-born, his real name is Alvaro Thies, has been claiming for more than 30 years to be Jesus Christ reincarnated, although he started out in the late 1960s by proclaiming himself a prophet and the French seer Nostradamus. He claims that in 1971 he heard the voice of God tell him that he was Jesus Christ, and it was at that point he adopted the acronym INRI, which is the Latinization for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Thies, who calls beliefs in the physical resurrection of Jesus absurd and a delirium, has been expelled from several countries for his activities, including the United States. But he appears to remain very popular in Brazil. The reported several hundred followers of his movement, the Supreme Universal Order of the Most Holy Trinity, are said to be mostly women. He is usually recognized by his long hair and beard, wearing a crown of thorns and a long white robe. In response to having been called crazy for claiming to be Jesus Christ, Thies said, "I can be crazy, but not dumb. Madness is different from dementia. It is the mother of philosophers, prophets, and inventors." Okay. Sergei Anatolievich Turov, called Viscerian by his followers, has publicly claimed since 1991 to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. The Russian leader named his movement the Church of the Last Testament and reportedly has 5,000 followers worldwide. His teachings reportedly reflect elements of various faiths, such as Russian Orthodox and Buddhism, and his stated goal is to unite all religions. Turov, married twice and having fathered six children, was reportedly a traffic cop before developing a community in Siberia. Probably stopped everyone, said, "Follow me." He told the Washington Post in 2007 that it was painful to remember the end of his last life, in which he says he walked the earth as Jesus Christ. In an even earlier report, Torp is quoted as saying, "It is all very complicated, but to keep things simple, yes, I am Jesus Christ. That which was promised must come to pass. And it was promised in Israel 2,000 years ago that I would return, that I would come back to finish what was started. I am not God, and it is a mistake to see Jesus as God. But I am the living word of God the Father. Everything that God wants to say, he says through me." Okay. Last one, Wayne Bent. Also uses the name Michael Traviser. Is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence for criminal sexual conduct or contact of a minor and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Ben claims that in 2000 he heard God declare him to be the Messiah, and the former Seventh-day Adventist pastor has presented himself as God's divine messenger. His New Mexico-based movement called the Lord Our Righteousness Church, referred to as Strong City by its members, was raided in 2008 by state police, and Bent was arrested. National Geographic produced a documentary called Inside a Cult on Bent and his movement, in which the self-proclaimed Messiah says, "I am the embodiment of God. I am divinity and humanity combined." Although hundreds of members of the church have abandoned his congregation since his arrest, his messages from prison have been published online. One such message, he writes, "I know that if I die or change, the final doom of man will closely follow. For the Holy One who possesses me will leave the earth with his possessed ones. Then all the world's pent-up hatred and finger-pointing will be unleashed as a flood against each other, and their fire will devour them. All of their self-righteousness will come back upon them as a plague, as men do to them double what they have done to me. Their wealth will perish like the snow in the summer sun." Do you know what was consistent about these guys? They all had followers. There was a TV program years ago. I think they made a remake of it not too long ago, but I don't think it did so well, called To Tell the Truth. You remember the program? Three people would come out and they would all claim to be the same person, and they would give the biography of these, and then the panelists would have to ask them questions to see if they could figure out who was telling the truth and who was making things up. How is it that these guys could pass such a test? How can people be so deceived? Well, our study in Matthew chapter 24 tonight talks about that very thing. If you want to take a look, it's only two verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Says this, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I believe that this will be taking place at the very beginning of the tribulation period in earnest. Could it be taking place today? Well, obviously it is. But when the Antichrist comes, it'll take place even more so. Why is that? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons why I think it will explode then. Number one, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church will have been put aside. People like us who can say, these guys are idiots, will be gone. And there's not going to be too many around who will have the insight to say, no, you're not. Secondly, the Antichrist himself will have been revealed by this time. And undoubtedly, there's going to be a backlash by at least some towards his worldwide desire to gain control of the world. Not everybody is going to be politically aligned with him. And even though they might not know the difference, if someone comes along and says, hey, wait a minute, this guy isn't the real deal, I am, they might be willing to say, hey, that sounds biblical. So I think there's a possibility then. Along with that, at the outset of the Antichrist time in office, he's not going to be too concerned about religion. He really has no care for religion, has no care for God. It's only in the middle of the tribulation will he stand in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. But up until that point, no big deal about these people. In his mind, they're crazy and they're never going to get anywhere. So the time will be ripe for these people to do that. But it says here, many shall come. And there will be a lot. And there are too many today. One is too many today. And they will be able to deceive many. And many today are deceived. And deception always ends in trouble. Can Christians be deceived? Well, I don't think in the case of a false Messiah today that we would be deceived. I think there's enough teaching that all Christians understand that the next time that Jesus Christ comes, he's taking the church away from here. So probably that's not going to be the case. But can we be spiritually deceived? Well, I did a little study on the word deceived. And I found four things that may lead to deception. First is this, being out of fellowship with God. First Peter says, for we were, or ye were a sheep going astray. That's the Greek word deceived. Plenao that I mentioned this morning. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. When you are out of fellowship with God, as these people were away from him, you don't have that input that steadies the soul, that fortifies you, that gives you a rock to stand on. And consequently, life becomes iffy. And if life becomes iffy, then biblical standards, absolutes, commands become iffy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. These guys aren't going to make it. Well, look at the first part again. He's asking, don't you know that these things are true? And the answer is, yeah, they did know that, but somehow they were wavering on it. Somehow they were saying, well, you know, maybe that's not the case. Maybe these people have something going for them that we don't understand, and we need to be inclusive. No, we start ignoring biblical absolutes when we're out of fellowship with God, and when we start doing that, we start keeping company with the ungodly. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners or morals. We start accepting those around us who have lifestyles contrary to what the Bible says. We make them our bosom buddies. And we hang out with them. And when we start hanging out with them, we start doing the things that they do. And consequently, we begin pursuing evil. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we think, well, okay, these guys are doing it. Everybody's doing it. I guess God doesn't mind. I'm going to do it too. And we open ourselves up for deception. How do we counteract deception? I want you to look at this email that I got just a couple of weeks ago. It was January the 12th, if I remember correctly. I actually did get this email. Update your payment information. We did not verify your payment for the next month because our verification system cannot verify your payment. Your credit card company refused Xfinity payment verification. Please update your payment information today to avoid a service downgrade. If you don't make a payment within 24 hours, your service will be suspended. If you have the Xfinity mobile protection plan, on your Xfinity mobile device or devices, it will be canceled. if your service is suspended. The Xfinity Mobile Protection Plan cannot be reinstated once it has been canceled. Oh my goodness! I got to take care of this right away. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have Xfinity Mobile. They were hoping that I did. But I don't have that service. So I knew right away that this was an imposter. What about the people who have Xfinity Mobile? Is there any way you could tell from this that something was amiss? I want to suggest four different things. Number one, that sentence right there, because our verification system cannot verify your payment. What's wrong with that? It's not a sentence. It's a phrase. You would think that a company as big as Xfinity would have someone who was dramatically capable of writing a correct sentence form their advertisements. But that's not a correct sentence. That's a phrase. Now, if you wanted to make it hook to the first sentence, that would work. The problem is at the end of the first sentence there's a period. And the second one begins with a capital letter. Either you get rid of the period and the capital letter, or you have to change the second sentence altogether to make it grammatically correct. There are rules of communication that if you want to communicate something accurately, you need to follow the rules. I'll make an analogy to that in a minute. How about this one? If you don't update, you're going to have a service downgrade. And if you don't do it within 24 hours, your service will be suspended. Huh? Yeah. They contradict each other. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. Hold on. Yeah, exactly. They say one thing here and say a different thing over here. I think there's a parallel in Scripture. How about this one? The Xfinity Mobile Protection Plan cannot be reinstated once it's been canceled. They won't take your money. What business do you know that will not take your money? They would want to sell you that thing again at double the price. And now here's your thing. Look where the email comes from. Unfortunately, you can't see either back there. It's too small. But where should an Xfinity email come from? Xfinity.com. This one comes from saver924123.com. Yeah, that's kind of a dead giveaway, isn't it? That's what happened to this one. Fortunately, it was still in the trash file, and I was able to get it to take the picture for this. But I recognized that thing right away. What are the rules that will tell us we've got deceivers? Well, just as there's rules of grammar and communication, there's rules of Bible interpretation. How to read your Bible, that you can know whether somebody is saying something that is biblically accurate or not. Let me just give you a couple of them. Number one, know the audience for whom the passage is addressed. Is it referring to a singular person, a small group, or is it referring to something universal for everybody? That's important. All Scripture is written for us, but not all Scripture is written to us. This is happening in the tribulation period. We're not going to be in the tribulation period. Well, then we should just let it go. No, there are things that we can learn from this that we can apply. But there are things Jesus said to the 12 apostles that dealt specifically with the 12 apostles. People will say, well, Jesus said this to believers, and I'm a believer, so therefore he was talking to me. No, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to them. You need to know who he's speaking to. Secondly, you need to know whether the passage has temporal or eternal application to it. Is this something that was spoken for a specific time, but is not eternal? Or is this something that transcends all of time? He told Noah, get in the boat. Well, does that mean we should go out and build an ark and get in the boat? No, I don't think so. There's not a flood coming. That was something spoken for a specific time period. But there are other things that are universal. Thirdly, know whether the passage is to be understood literally or symbolically. Do we take this thing exactly the way it's written, or do we understand it to mean something figuratively? And there are places in Scripture where we take things figuratively. Proverbs talks about a family being a well-dressed vine. Well, we got a bunch of weeds in our house. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, he's using that figuratively. So do these things. And we have these rules of interpretation. And if we follow the rules, we'll figure out what Scripture is saying and we won't be deceived. Secondly, does the Bible contradict itself? The answer is no, it doesn't. When somebody says something and you can say, well, wait a minute, over here, it says the exact opposite. What they said probably, therefore, is false. Now, sometimes there are things that seemingly are contradictory, but maybe because they're at different times or local versus universal can be reconciled. But the Bible never contradicts itself. The Bible doesn't say in one place, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. In another place say, but you are saved by works. It just doesn't do it. And some people build theologies on, okay, well, the Bible says you need to get baptized in order to be saved. Well, no, it doesn't say that. It doesn't contradict itself. The third one, does it make sense? Does it make sense that Xfinity wouldn't sell you the protection package again? No, it doesn't make sense. Is the Bible written to confuse you? And the answer is no. Are there things difficult to understand? Yes, there are. But is it written to confuse you? If you correctly understand something in Scripture, you're going to say, ah, now I got it. Makes sense. If you're scratching your head and say, I just don't get this. And you ask someone to help you with the interpretation, they say, I don't get it either. And you ask a couple of people to help you and they don't get it. Something ain't right. God didn't give us his word to keep us scratching our heads. And then finally, what God says always agrees with his own character. This is the word of God. This is the revelation of who God is. It agrees with what it teaches with his character. Be ye holy. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. It agrees with his character. When you have a guy that's in jail because of exactly what was the charge, it was a sexual thing. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Does that agree with the character of God? The answer is, you've got to be kidding. Deception is going on there. I have memories of walking on earth. Does God have memories? No, God has knowledge. Our memories are sometimes vague. Sometimes they're errant. Sometimes we think about something, I thought I did this in the past, but it turns out, no, we really didn't do that. The Word of God always agrees with the character of God. And when these four things are out of place, we have deception going on. Be not deceived, Jesus said. Well, that's going to be necessary because if these guys are following these false Christs, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be led astray. And their eternal destiny is going to hinge on it. We need to be careful, too, that we're not deceived. Well, because the devil's still walking about this earth seeking to devour us. And how's he going to do that? By deception. We can always recognize the false by knowing the true. Let's be good Bible students and be not deceived. Father, encourage us with these words tonight that we might be found faithful, recognizing the true from the false, that we might be followers of the Lamb unto righteousness. For the sake of your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good weekend.